Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, real Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Here's how it's going to work, Mr. President. We let you worry about the domestic agenda, all the touchy-feely stuff. But when it comes to national security, Strike makes all the hard decisions. Do you remember the Civil War of 82, which turned Mexico into a Warsaw Pact client state?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. There never was any Mexican Civil War.
That's the point.
Oh my God. Bill Clinton.
Yep.
I'm assuming.
Yep. Hey everybody, welcome to Play Retro. We're back and it's another Play Retro. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and I just blew up my ammo recharge again.
Oh no. Oh hi, I'm Brian Dunaway, and I got to rescue my co-pilot, Nick, from the clutches of a madman. Again, damn it, Nick.
Yeah.
Get in the copper.
Nick was always in trouble, that guy.
Oh, well, did you see Nick's untimely end? Oh, spoiler.
Spoiler. Yeah. Let's just say that's three strikes against Nick. Hey, everybody, what's going on? We're going to do another Play Retro. We got old games to talk about, in particular, a series a lot of people love. If you are of the 16-bit era Persuasion, you probably remember it. We'll get to all that in a minute. Before we do, though, catch up on a couple things we've been doing this week. My Steam Deck continues to be my retro obsession. I freaking love that thing.
Yes.
I love it. I played more retro on there than I thought I would already, but I'm also playing a bunch of other mainstream stuff, and I'm playing things from like 2-3 years ago that we covered on the Boop Show that I was like, oh yeah, right, how's that looking? Oh, it's out of early access. How is it? Ooh, it's got overwhelmingly positive reviews. I should check that out. And sure enough, some really badass indies on there. But I love that device. It's so great. All right, that's out of the way now. Don't have to talk about my Steam Deck anymore. Somebody.
Yeah, but you said you got a new $40 400 gigabyte SSD. I needed to know about that, though. That was the one thing I did need to know.
Not an SSD. It's an SD.
What, not SSD? SD.
SD. Excuse me. Just little tiny micro SD. They were on sale on Amazon for like $40, and they're normally like 80 or 90 or something.
Nice.
400 gigabyte. I forget the fast standard, whatever that is.
Is it SanDisk or is it?
Yeah, it is SanDisk. Yes, it is SanDisk. Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, I like them.
And I got that in, put that in there. Now I have, I mean, well over what, 1,200, so a terabyte and change for all the shit I ever want on there. So I'm very happy with it. $40, nothing. Right. If they're still on sale, I would recommend getting it because that's a hell of a deal. The other thing I got, these were on sale too, and I'd never even heard of this stuff. So I grabbed this on Amazon. This little thing, it's called Miss Pac-Man Micro Arcade.
Oh.
So you were wondering, hey, how come I can't get Miss Pac-Man anywhere in 2022? Guess what? You totally can. It's this little tiny credit card size, a little thicker than that, but a little credit card sized little handheld console thing.
Well, you're right. It is. It is credit card size, but just thicker. Yeah.
It's definitely thicker,
but not much.
Yeah, I mean, it has its own little color screen. It's Miss Pac-Man, all the mazes and things you expect. The only thing that's weird is it's laid out a little bit like. Here you go. You can see it. Here, I'll play some audio. Can you hear that?
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. That's the tiniest little screen. What is that like? What is this? That is like Post-it size, right?
I don't even know if that's like not even. It's maybe even smaller than a watch face, like an Apple Watch.
Yeah,
or something.
It's about the size of maybe. Yeah.
What I like about
this watch, or maybe I would say a stamp, right? Is about the size
about
of a stamp.
Yeah, big stamp, but. Yeah. It's got Ms. Pac-Man on it. It's part of the Micro Arcade series. Apparently, there's a whole bunch of different ones. It's very small, not that practical, but I love the front facing, which is see-through, and you get all the like circuitry and circuit boards and stuff.
Yeah, that is cool.
I like that a lot. Namco's name is on this, not the company that has the holding.
Oh,
the
Namco's a name.
Yeah, they're a name
giver. They just like, yeah, put our name on it. The license department is real loosey-goosey over at the Namco.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Now, what's really weird is it's got the joystick. It's just... you know, D-pad, and then it's got two buttons, an A and a B, or they're not even labeled, they're just two buttons. One of them does credits and start, and the other one doesn't do anything that I can tell. So you actually don't use them, because Pac-Man, you don't, there's just a joystick. You don't do anything else.
Yeah.
You're just running around getting dots. So it's a little bit odd, but I really like it. I got it for like $14, so...
That that's super cheapest. I think it's still like $16 even now, even if it's not on sale, or maybe 16% off. But I have the My Arcade Pocket Player handheld Pac-Man, Pac-Mania, and what was the other one? Something like, I can't remember. So there's like three Pac-Man games on it, and it feels real solid. If you ever get it, I see that My Arcade now has a Miss Pac-Man version 2, and I was really impressed.
Well, that's the one I got. That's the Miss Pac-Man I got.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm saying though, this is like a larger one. So it's a larger one. It's also it's a My Arcade. I'll send you the link to it. But I've been thinking about getting another one because I really like the quality on the first one. That looks pretty cool too.
It's pretty good. It reminds me of my daughter got the.
Is it because it's Miss?
No, she got my daughter got the one that Nintendo makes for the original Legend of Zelda one, the little gold one.
Oh, and the Game & Watch
thing? It's like Game & Watch, but it's like the full game. It's in full color and all that. They put it out a while ago. I think it's gone now. I don't think you can buy those anymore. But it's the legit 8-bit, like true to life game, sound effects, everything else. And those were like $100 or something, or 90 or 80 or something. They were expensive. But she picked that one up and got that. So I thought, you know what? Why not? If they ever did like a Joust version of these, I'd get that. I'd get that.
Oh, yeah, totally. You need a little, it would have to have a little stick though, right? I mean, can you fly a Joust? Which is, I guess so, because you got buttons. I suppose you could do it.
You could, but I'd need to wear some readers to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Some readers.
Is that a pterodactyl or a booger I blew on there half an hour ago? I don't know. How would I know?
Ooh. Anyway, you have a Tetris version of that little thing?
I saw that. Yeah, that would be
good.
That
is cool.
Tetris would be cool because Tetris is, you know, you can play Tetris.
But why is that one $44?
That's what I'm saying. I got this thing on a good deal. Maybe it's a really good version of Tetris. I don't know.
Is it maybe they're paying the Russians their bit of money? They have a license with those guys, I guess.
let's see.
Oregon Trail. How can you play one of these things with an Oregon Trail?
Oh yeah, there it is. $44. Four left in stock. Man, don't tempt me with that. That is some bullshit. I want that right there.
Like the Space Invaders is still, I still think the Miss Pac-Man is the one to do, though, if you're going to get it. It looks like that's the thing to do. Of course, Qbert is always a favorite, and it's purple, and it's $12.99.
I love
Qbert. I'm wearing the Qbert right now. Boom.
Qbert, how much is it for Qbert?
$12.99.
Shut up. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's get that right now. Where
I've
is
already
this?
Added into my cart.
It's Micro really arcade. Cool. Yeah, look at this. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding? Or I'm doing this now.
I'm getting the Qbert as well. Let's watch this compete for the last one on the in stock.
Well, I'm gonna hit buy now. I'm gonna hit buy now, so it's fast.
No, I got it. It's too late. I've already done it. I've already used this payment.
I don't care.
I'm going the long route.
Here goes.
It's already in my cart.
I'm doing
you
it.
Can't have it.
Pay with. Go. Place your order.
It'll be here tomorrow.
Mine will be here on the 4th. So you must be closer to the micro arcade batch. I love these, though. These are cool, and I don't mind collecting them and having them all over the place. They're fine.
Yeah, that is fun.
All right, just Brian, there. Yeah. You did some stuff on a higher level with the PS3 and some other stuff. What'd you do? What'd you do this week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hi. Yeah, so Carl... out your way, sent me he heard me fawning over your PS3 inbox that you got last week,
yeah,
and was kind enough to send me a PS3 and some games.
What?
So I'm pretty stoked about that, because I purchased a DJ Hero. I've been playing a lot of DDR lately, and I was like, you know,
really?
I really never got into, yeah, so Dance Dance Revolution. I really haven't been playing
like
a lot of...
Like on the pad, like hook it up on the floor and do the thing and everything?
Oh, yeah, I got the Konami pad. I got two Konami pads for my PS2.
Get some video
right.
of this.
Dance Dance Revolution, baby.
Yeah.
Also got High School Musical 3, but that's another story entirely. But yeah, I went in, so I got this, and I've been picking up, like, hardware that I never got a chance, that I always thought was too... you know, gimmicky back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like the DJ Hero. I got brand new in a box for like $12 yeah. for the PS3. And I hadn't repaired my PS3 that I picked up. Remember the one that had the Motorola in it?
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't finished fixing it yet. So, man, this saves me a lot of time. So thank you, Carl, for that donation so that I could finally move on with life. And I'm looking forward to playing with my DJ.
Yeah, wiki, wiki, woo, woo, wiki, wiki, wiki. DJ Hero was cool, yep. man. That was a cool concept. I like it.
It really was, and I hadn't played it, but I was excited for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it matches, it's that satin silver, which matches all my other stupid silver stuff that I have back here, and so I'm pretty stoked about that. But I also got in, you know, last week I showed you the 32X that plugs into the top of the Genesis that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And I couldn't put my hands on my Star Wars 32X cartridge. So I ordered another one, and it came in, and so we're going to get a chance to probably look at that this week. I hope.
Star Wars is the – wait, which one is that one? That's the where they kind of recreated the vectors.
Arcade?
Yeah, the arcade one, right? Yeah.
They recreated the arcade one, so I've got it – get it plugged in right
I
there.
I forgot
so
they we'll even see. Did that on the 32X. That is a memory I forgot. So. Nice. Nice.
I'm pretty stoked.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. Moving on up, everybody. We've done it.
Moving on up.
Samson's right.
son is just a derivative work of another English TV show. Scott,
yeah, called
that?
Potato and Crummy or something.
Potato and Son. No, it was still Son. What was it? It was... Striker and Son. I can't.
No, definitely not Striker.
Striker on the brain.
I can promise you that. That is not it. I don't remember, though,
right.
but we learned it on FilmSack, and you all should learn it as well, whatever the hell it was.
But I see people are in the chat room going, PS3 is not retro. But you can play some, if you get the right models of PS3, you can play some older stuff. So it still allows me to play some retro stuff.
It's also an older console, and we're not covering the PS3. We're just telling you that Brian got a thing and is doing a thing. So
there. I'm doing a thing. It's you know, but it's still it's good. It's good. Steptoe and Son. That's it. The Wraith Note.
Steptoe and Son.
Yep.
Except over there, they were, hello, governor. I don't know how.
We have some scraps. We're gonna sell them. I'm coming to see you, lady. Elizabeth,
yep,
it'll still
Lady
be Elizabeth,
Elizabeth,
wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it would still be Elizabeth.
Yeah, she's been there a long time. all right. Well, on that note, this.
Shall we play a game?
Hell yeah, man! Today we play a game, and that game is, well, it's a bunch of them, but it's a series called the Strike Series: Jungle, Desert, Urban, Soviet, and Nuclear. These were a big deal. Soviet and nuclear. I don't want to say that wrong because I get
nuclear.
Shit for that. Those games showed up on PlayStation, and we'll get to those as well as I guess the Saturn had one of them. Soviet.
Yeah, the Saturn. The Saturn had the Soviet Strike.
That's right, Soviet. But nuclear was purely PS1, and also marks the last one, which I think sucks, and I hope they do something with it again. But we'll get to all that here in a second, but let's talk about it. It is a series of video games, tactical, mission-based helicopter military business, created by Mike Posehn, John Patrick Manley, and Tony Barnes.
Good job.
Well, on the name? Well, it's because he's like the comedian. What's his name? Something Posehn. Brian Posehn.
Comedian Posehn?
Yeah, you know Brian Posehn? You know him. You'd see him and go, oh, that guy. Yeah, I've seen him and everything.
Oh, yeah, probably what I would say. Yeah, all right, yeah.
He's an all-star.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just impressed by your pronunciations.
I wonder if they know each other. Anyway, John Patrick Manley and Tony Barnes. They released these games between 1991 and 97. That was the entire run of the series. These were all Electronic Arts games, various platforms, SNES, and, of course, Genesis is where things started. The Genesis versions were considered the best playing, but the SNES version had the best sound. That's a typical thing back then.
Yeah.
But I really do like the Genesis versions over the SNES versions because of the control. There's something tighter about it.
This thing was you can't hardly find somebody who had a Sega Genesis that didn't have Desert Strike on it. You might not have followed up with the Jungle Strike and Urban Strike, but you probably definitely have a Desert Strike. And even today, when I look at you know, on eBay or wherever I'm looking for old consoles and stuff, and they'll have a couple of games they're going to throw in, it's always a Jungle Strike in there. I mean, yep. I said Jungle. Yep. I meant Desert Strike. There's always a Desert Strike.
So always, yeah. That was a very popular game. Probably not going to be worth that much now because they were so numerous.
Abundant.
It was these multi-directional shooters. You viewed it from the overhead, top down. The first two games of the series were 2D, obviously, and used sprites that kind of gave you the illusion of 3D depth. But you got the 3D polygon business later with the PlayStation 1, and it was fine for what it was at the time. It looks pretty muddy now, but we'll get to all that here in a second.
I keep dropping. It was muddy. It sucked. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, but it was bad. PlayStation's bad. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's just so ugly. But anyway, I wanted to say that it was at this stage of our conversation last week while we were kind of doing some early research and conversation back and forth about the games and stuff that I went and found the story behind why Electronic Arts has those tall, weird cartridges with a little yellow thing on it.
Yeah, we had kind of talked a little bit because, you know, if you're not familiar with the Genesis EA carts, they do have like a little tab, a little yellow tab. They're taller than most other carts, and they got a tab. And I got one here, I think. Go ahead.
Okay, so here's the deal. These things looked, I'll get a picture up so chat can see it. I'm sure they're familiar. Yeah.
I'm sure if you've seen one, you've seen a million. There you go. There's that NHL 94.
There's Brian's. Hold on. Let me show you Brian's. Brian's right there. Look at that. See that little notch? See that little weird yellow thing? So a lot of people thought, oh, that must be some kind of cool battery backup, or that's some kind of, there's a reason. They must have a reason. Blah, blah. Some fancy business with Madden can't run without the special yellow hoo-ha. Turns out, completely cosmetic. Absolutely does nothing. And them breaking the mold and going with this different cartridge style, which is also taller and a little more angular than the curved front, normally shorter Genesis cartridges.
Right.
The reason that they did that is they got in this big fight with Sega because they wanted it. This is so EA too. It's going to piss everybody off. EA wanted to get lower pricing or a better deal on the licensing to use the console. So
right.
What Sega was doing was basically getting the same rate Nintendo was from everybody. So they kind of matched their two deals. And EA's like, well, we want a better deal. And they wouldn't give it to them. And they got in this big back and forth. And at one point, I don't have it right in front of me, so I can't give you the exact details. But at one point, Sega says something to the effect, and this is so stupid. They said, look, you'll just have to reverse engineer our console if you want to do anything different. So EA went back and reverse engineered their console. And said, well, now we know how to make these cartridges and we know all about your hardware. So we'll just sell an EA device and screw you guys. We'll get all the money. And then Sega's like, oh, no, you know what? Well, you can come over here. You'll be fine. We'll give you a better deal. And then EA says, okay, but we get to make cool cartridges that set us apart and nobody else looks like ours. Okay, they said. So they made it. They made this tall ass thing with a fake yellow piece of business on the side. And bam, there's your dumb story. I was always hoping, there's a special memory chip or a battery in there.
Yeah.
No, none of that.
I thought that too. And then I thought, well, I knew that Nintendo kind of like, that's how they copy. That's how they kind of locked everybody into those, that their cart stuff, because they would sell the, you know, they would sell the developer their carts, you know, and so they would make a little extra money there. And I figured that's what it was. I figured that Genesis probably had like a copyright on the shape or something stupid.
They did.
Then EA was like, we can circumvent that. We'll just make it a little bit different and unique, and we'll put a little yellow tab on it. But that makes sense. That makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. They were a little pissy about it, but, as it turns
EA,
out,
get out of
yeah,
here.
I know, weird, right? All this time, whatever. But back then, they were making really great games, and this series is certainly one of those games. I don't want this to be an EA bash fest. They happen to be in kind of the toilet right now in terms of player opinion. However, they had their day.
EA. In 1992, I still liked EA. They were still using their old multiple shapes logo, right? The square, circle, cone.
Yeah.
So I was still okay with them. They hadn't 100% turned into
same. EA. I agree with you. They weren't the EA that we all, you know, lament now.
Yeah.
Those games though, I had all of them except the PlayStation games. And here's what's weird about that. I didn't know those existed, and I went all through the PS1 era being a fan of the previous generation Strike series and never knew they made new ones. Yeah. I don't know why. Did they market them bad? Did I just not notice? Did I not hear about it in all the magazines I'm subscribed to? How did I miss the PlayStation 1's version of that? I don't know.
Yeah. The year was 1996, so we were like a year in North America, we're like a year after the launch of the PlayStation. You were right in the middle of making your family. So, I mean,
I was 25 years old, 24, whatever, in my 20s. Yeah. And loving it. And I didn't have a ton of expendable income, but I was like, you know, better than being some teenager trying to beg his parents for a new game. It was like, hey, there's a new thing out. And if I'd have known, I would have played the Strike series on PlayStation. I didn't know they were there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how.
I think we were kind of also kind of, even the first one with Desert Strike, we were kind of coming out of, you know, we're going into the first Gulf War there in the Desert Strike, right?
Yeah. All that stuff is right in your face.
92. Yeah. So yeah. And so by 96, maybe we're a little sick of war. Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. Chat room says Scott and Brian are finally talking about Choplifter, but it's in the form of the Strike series. You know
true.
What? You're not wrong. There are aspects to this that are straight out of that. Like, you are often doing a mission where part of it or all of it is go to this base, destroy the defenses, and then pick up the five or six freaking chucklehead idiots that are stranded there and bring them back to town. That's straight up Choplifter.
As the story goes on Sega-16.com, Trip likes Choplifter. The Strike games have their origin in another famous helicopter shooter, Sega's Choplifter. EA's president Trip Hawkins approached Posehn and asked him to come up with something similar, not wanting to directly emulate the competition. Posehn came with the unique idea of the helicopter control sharing the best two viewpoints. It was a third-person view with first-person controls. He commented when he spoke to him. Oh, that's what he said. He talked to he had talked to them in 2005. The Sega-16.com website.
Yeah.
And so but then I was like, cool. But then I also went to archive.org, and according to Electronic Games 1992 interview, the initial inspiration, however, came from the original producer, Tom Casey, who was later replaced by Richard Robbins, was a fan of Choplifter. Somebody at EA was a fan of Choplifter.
Yeah, clearly.
Is the end story. Yeah.
Clearly, because there is a lot here, quote unquote, lifted from Choplifter. But, you know, it's a nice sort of pseudo 3D change in the PlayStation version's true 3D. So, you ended up with a lot more strategic stuff and whatever. I would actually argue one of the weaknesses of the Strike series is the strafe mechanic, which is vital. You cannot play that game without the strafe mechanic and live is hard to learn and master. And my only complaint about the Steam Deck is I think its bumper buttons, LB and RB, I think are a little unwieldy. It's the only part of the control scheme on the deck I think could use a little bit of ergonomic work. And as a result, it kind of gave me a bit of a cramp. But
And in 92, you would have been, if you played this in the Genesis, which is where I played it, you had three buttons on that Genesis controller, D-pad, three buttons, a start button. And in order to strafe, you had to use your, you had to hold down the A button and then move left to right. So it was even more complicated because that was also could be mapped to one of your weapons. You can accidentally fire off a missile and go, daggummit, anyway. Yeah.
It is a pain in the ass, that stuff on the Genesis in particular. However, the six-button controller helped alleviate that with further down the road. And in the SNES case, you had the shoulder button so you could do your strafing with L and R.
Yeah.
And that made a big difference gameplay-wise. I just wish the SNES version played as smoothly, like movement and gameplay and control, mm-hmm. as the Genesis version did. And I never really understood why not. It was a weird thing that they were different.
Faster processor, not blast processing, but it did. It could, I think, render more sprites, right? I think that's what we've learned over the years. It could do. And this is all about the sprites, because what we have here is a helicopter that was not rendered in 3D, but it was designed using 3D models, and it is a sprite. And if you look at it, that's a lot of sprites.
We got a
rotor, and we've got, you know, we got a spinning blades on the top, and we got light reflections and little ladders coming down. And so I think the Genesis just had these sprite rendering capabilities a little bit better than the SNES.
I agree. I think it it just plays better. If you guys at home want to try that, if you've got both and you can sort of do a side by side, it just feels better. I'm not saying it won't work for you. It'll be fine.
Right. It's really important too, because one of the things that makes this game fun, that makes it really stand out, is what they call momentum, where the helicopter has like weight to it, because when you takes a little time to accelerate, but once you get to, you know, your maximum acceleration, then it takes a little bit of time to stop too. And so it feels floaty, and it feels like you're, you know, arcade wise flying a Apache helicopter, right?
Or whatever, it's a bit like having a car, like a racing game, where it's not all just stiff. You can actually, you know, create that, those, it's not real physics obviously, but you can create a sense of physicality that just makes the game feel deeper and more interesting. And you can turn that off, by the way, but I never did.
Are you playing the Amiga version on screen right now?
No,
because those graphics look okay. That's the Genesis. Now, there was an Amiga version that had much better graphics.
Oh, I didn't know the Amiga version even existed. That's cool.
Oh, the Amiga version is the most superior version of them all. It really looks good. And I swear, I swear that video footage you're playing looks more like the Amiga version. I'm trying to look back at my Sega Genesis right now and see if it happened to be up in that ocean scene. But it looks really good. It's that's the place to play it if you can emulate it. But Amiga is kind of a pain in the butt to emulate, and especially when it comes down to controllers and you end up using a freaking keyboard or something.
So I've got some footage here. Oh yeah, this looks pretty good. Let me see if we can.
There's my little shapes. There's my window blind shapes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, way more frames of animation. You know, as usual. Yeah.
A little blur.
I could have gone for a Neo Geo port of this game. That would have been real good. Yeah. That
right.
Looks really nice. Those explosions look really good.
Yeah. We almost got a 3DO instead of a PlayStation once we got the Soviet strike. So,
Well, the 3DO version, 3DO ended up having that really good, I always forget the name when we talk about it. Oh, Return Fire was called.
Oh, okay.
Return Fire is basically this game, but you have a Jeep and a tank and like a choice of vehicles. But it's kind of this. It's go out, do a mission, come back, dump off your shit, go back, do it again. You know, it's that kind of game.
Look at all this. Look at the menu and stuff too, Scott. Look how.
Oh, it's so much better.
How fancy this is.
We need to get this ROM. Let's find this ROM.
Yeah, I have that ROM for the Amiga. Actually, I went to archive. Okay, so let's talk about how to get these games. Well, considering EA abandoned it, you can go to places like myabandonware.com. I forget exact address, but if you just look for abandoned games and Desert Strike Return to the Gulf, you'll find it. It's out there. Go to archive.org if you want to, if you feel a little safer there.
It's there.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
The Amiga version, like I said, I had no trouble finding an Amiga version, and I did emulate it a little bit, but my control setup wasn't where I wanted it to be, so I booed out and said boo.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that, because the Amiga, I mean, what was the control situation on that thing? Was it like
it has, if your emulation is set up, you're gonna have a controller. It's gonna be cool. But it was a little more work than I wanted to do this week. Yeah. So I was just like, I said I'll come back to that later. So I had to use use the keyboard. So that was lame.
I might track this down and play this on there.
Yeah, you should totally play.
I got the Amiga cores. I just gotta give it a shot.
I need to order the Amiga Mini, the A500. Yeah. I need to do it.
Yeah.
Stop. Just go.
Is this on there though?
I ordered Qbert already. I don't have any more discretionary funds.
Oh, I know. You spent your Qbert money. You're out. Let's hear a little sound from the game. Here is the music for Desert Strike. And it's a lot like the rest of the games in the series, so that's why I chose this one. Here you go. That's some Genesis bullshit there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just listen to that.
I believe that was thanks to Rob Hubbard. Wasn't he like a C64 kind of guy? Did a lot of audio stuff. But yeah, British composer. That's who it was.
L. Ron Hubbard did it.
Rob Hubbard, not L. Ron.
Oh, L. Rob Hubbard. Got it.
Rob Hubbard. Yeah.
No L in front of there. It's. I just remember getting my cheese melting. I was excited. Got that game going. Dude, listen to this music.
You load the card up, and while you're trying to get your controller and everything ready, that pops up. You got your Desert Strike. It really gets you amped up. Unfortunately, this is the era of the 2 megabyte cartridges. So
if that,
you only get that in the intros and in the cutscenes, and then there's nothing in between where you just got the copter going.
Yeah, I mean, here it is, basically. Let me turn this up a bit.
Yeah, there it is. So you get a little music at the top. You get a lot of that.
This is the Genesis version. You know, some pretty cheese ball sound effects. Nothing great. But it's a completely, completely musicless gameplay.
Yeah.
But then in between, you got Soldier, and it's all text, but it's like, Soldier, we need you to get in there and do a strike on the desert with the thing, and it's gonna be great, or whatever.
You gotta stop the war before it stops, because Madman Kilbasa is his name is Kilbaba, I think, or something like that. But you know, it's reflective in part of what was going on in reality, and also wasn't reality at all, because the war had not started at this point when they first started developing this game. But the all that CNN coverage during the first war did inform the rest of development. Desert Strike.
Without question, I think this stuff is absolutely influenced by the stuff of the time. You would then move on to this a little better. Higher quality, not much, but this is the
upgrade. You're in a Comanche helicopter now instead of an Apache, right?
Yeah, and couldn't you choose? I think there was a choice at some point of different helicopters.
You would start having other helicopters. Is this the one that has the Black Hawk, more of a transport? I'm trying to remember if this is the one that was that. But anyway, you can do multiple vehicles in this one. Like,
we should say this is Jungle Strike, for those wondering which one we're talking about. So Jungle Strike was the first sequel, came out in 1993.
Next year.
Yeah, very next year, which is awful quick, I thought.
Not quick turnaround, but we're still talking about, you know, small dev teams. Did we mention that Amy Hennig, remember her from a few weeks back when we did the Legacy of Kain series? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did some artwork on the Desert Strike, the first one as well. She got a little credit there for some of the secondary assets, I believe. But
love her old school involvement in gaming. I think that stuff's great, because now she's like in the highest echelon of game creation, and it's just cool to see somebody who's been there from then forward. You know, it's awesome.
You know what I really hated though? Well, first of all, we start Jungle Strike in Washington DC, because you got to stop the terrorists, because they're gonna try to they're seizing government buildings, aka landmarks, in Washington. And so they're all in these, you know, these Libyan terrorist vans, like you see in Back to the Future, or in some kind of modified bus. And I'm like, how'd they get here? And where's all the rest of the traffic? Anyway, this one really gave me trouble because of the snafu system. And the snafu system is that when you play these games, if you're in a mission and suddenly you make things become impossible to finish the scenario or the mission, you have to go land, go back to base, land, and restart the level.
Yeah, you restart, basically. You can't just hit start and restart. I wish you could.
No, you can't. And now, so man, I would, and these stupid terrorists would hide behind, like, the Washington Monument or different things. They'd be, like, behind them.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'd always pick a bad co-pilot. And so the co-pilots are important in this game, because if you pick one that can't shoot worth crap, they're going to end up shooting the monuments and stuff. And then you get the snafu and you got to freaking start back over.
Yeah.
I love hated this game because it was so easy for me to screw up. I didn't feel like I was screwing up nearly as much in Desert Strike.
It's definitely a harder game, no doubt. It got easier again the next year with Urban, but I think Jungle Strike was a marked increase of difficulty.
Where's the jungle? Is this the concrete jungle? I don't get it. It comes later.
Yeah. And some people complained about 94's Urban Strike being too easy and that dinged the game, but I actually found it to be a much more inviting experience even back then. I was like, oh, okay, well, I won't get so pissed. I'll throw my controller through the wall. I'll actually enjoy this.
I did find it easier to in the engagements, but I did find it easier for me to screw up. Like, it was, like I said, it was very common for me to do that. And I would blow a monument up because I always pick the wrong stupid co-pilot.
Yeah.
It's important to pick a good co-pilot.
Now, I want y'all to hear this. So we didn't, and you kind of mentioned this, but Son of Kilbaba.
Yes,
The bad guy from the first game, he shows up in Jungle Strike and teams up with Colombian drug lord. What's his name? Do we have his name?
Ortega? Ortega is a generic Colombian drug lord. It's like Ortega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get revenge. Yeah. There's also a motorbike, hovercraft, some stealth stuff in there.
You get to fly the stealth helicopter there, or was it the stealth bomber? I thought it was a stealth helicopter.
I think it was a stealth bomber mission, wasn't it? You flew over and drop a bomb. I don't remember.
It might have been. I'm getting some of these kind of.
It's easy to mix them up. Yeah, I don't blame you. I do it all the effing time.
And this is on everything as well, man. Like the first one, this one is on the Genesis, DOS, Amiga, 500, 1200, the CD32 for the Amiga. Never messed with that.
Remember that?
The SNES. Game Gear, Game Boy, Super Game Boy.
How were those versions? How was the Super Game Boy version? Do we know how that was?
Of course, the Game Boy, Super Game Boy is just the ability to plug in the Game Boy cart into the Super NES, and it would have a color palette, hopefully.
Color,
And then, so that's probably the preferred way to play it because the sprites are so small.
Yeah, they're pretty
small
tiny.
To begin with.
They're pretty tiny. What I like about sometimes the handheld version of games like this is they just go for simplicity and fun. And sometimes that's what I want.
That.
You know, just get in, go for it, and don't worry too much about all the skill crap. Just play the game and have a good time.
Yeah, but I think that's what I read in one of the gaming magazines of the time. They said they did mention that. They were like, oh, the superior experience is definitely going to be the Super Game Boy. You're going to want to play this on the TV because, yes, it is more simplified, but you know, the characters are so freaking small. Like the people, like the humans, they're so small.
Yeah, little bitty peoples. Half the time getting shot at by I don't know what because they're they're out in the dirt somewhere and they look like the dirt.
So, they do. They like the dirt. I'm about to see these guys.
Someone in the chat room, Drench Wildfire, said something very funny. He says the leader's name in Jungle Strike was Pace Ortega Pico de Gallo.
That's about where that's kind of how I felt. Like they were naming this stuff. These were true Americans who were designing these games because it was like, what's a good Middle Eastern name made up? Kilbaba, that sounds good.
Yeah, Kilbaba.
Who's a good drug lord?
Yeah.
Ortega.
Ortega. It's pretty sad, actually.
But these guys were all in, this is the early 90s. They're all wanting to make movies. They're all wanting to make movies in their games. And they're all thinking of all of those great 80s action flicks.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking how old is he's like 45, right? So Mike Posehn is like 45 at this point. Yeah. So he's old people.
Yeah. He's old people. He's about to get his AARP letter. You know, he's getting his colon looked at by Dr. Slippy Fingers. Yeah.
It's perfect. Last week we talked about a game designer who was 19 and, you know, created Kirby. This week we're talking about an old man who's, you know, get off my lawn. I'm going to have to send in the strike team after you.
That's right. That's right. Then comes Urban Strike the following year. So they're really on a roll here. 92, 93, 94. Yeah. Just boom, boom, boom. They're doing like Madden here. And in this one, They have the greatest intro music of all time. I'm now going to play it for you. Bask in the glory that is this intro music.
I am prepared.
It's amazing. I mean, it's still a riff on the original, but how great is that? Especially this bit. It's so bad, dude. I love it.
Don Vecka is here to entertain you with his radical release, right?
I guess that's one way of putting it. This was Urban Strike. You had to stop a dictator from using a big-ass laser.
Guess who the dictator is?
What's his name?
It's Ortega, I bet.
Oh, shit.
Because that's how all of these games go. Remember the guy that got away in the last game? He's back. You've made a mistake.
Yeah, you screwed up. You thought you had him, but you didn't. And now trouble's afoot.
But it makes sense because that's what we do in America, man. We go, go do operation, and while destroying the current enemy, we give rise to the next one. So that's what we do.
Yeah, that's true. You got your... it gets worse, by the way. We'll get to all the later. The PlayStation ones are even cheesier. But because at some point I feel like they just gave up on trying to be cool, realistic, sort of, it's still military porn, but they're not, they're not being.
Why is he rescuing the Smurfs?
I don't know why they're the Smurfs. They look blue and Smurfy. I don't know why.
Sorry, no more room, man.
I don't know what's going on.
We can only fit six Smurfs in this thing.
This one's okay, but this got easier a little bit, which I appreciated, but it also didn't do anything super new with the series, and a lot of people complained about that. They really wanted to see it expand, and it was really just more of the same.
And it was the third year in a row, right? And like you said, it's kind of stopped being as topical. Like, the first one was, like, all kinds of topical. We couldn't get enough of the war when it first started. It's like, oh, yeah, we need 24 hours of CNN telling us everything. And I want to go, live the experience. I want to suck it up and absorb it. And then, like, by 96, we were like, I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, a little bit tired of it. And you heard this again. Just more of this. Listen.
Yeah. And we talk much about how much the first three, especially, how much strategy and resource management you had to do, because you had to watch your armor and your fuel and you had to watch your missiles.
Yeah,
and
maybe too much.
It was tough. You had to find, like, on the maps, and this was like Assassin's Creed early kind of style, where it's like you didn't have like any on screen maps. You had to like pop into the start button and look to see where you at on the map and what your resources were. Were you running low on fuel? They'll let you know in game with a little flash real quick, but you can easily get low on fuel and be like, uh-oh, if you're out of fuel, guess what? You're going down.
Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff to juggle, and that's fine, and I understand the complexity actually adds to the game for people, but I think, for example, your main gun, your machine gun, should just be unlimited ammo. Take that card from other games.
I kind of thought the same thing too. It does need to be kind of unlimited ammo, or at least a little. It's kind of. Well, I think you start like a 1500 or something, and they go a little slow. It's not like
It's Master Chief. Hold it. Do it like Master Chief. Give him a pistol that never runs out of ammo. There's your pistol.
Yeah. There's your pistol.
So worst case is you squander your missiles, you F up and use too many of your bombs, and now you're out. Well, at least you can try to survive with that damn pistol. And in this game, it was like, oh, you're out of pistol bullets. Well, now you got five of those missiles. And when that's done, it's just the whole snafu bullcrap again. So,
yeah, it's time to head back in. You know what? Mission failed. I'm with you, too, also. I'm like, just tell me mission failed. Don't make me tuck my tail between my legs and fly all back to the beginning. Because you know what? I'm not. I'm just going to crash.
Yeah, I'm just going to crash. Or I'll do a save state and I'll emulate this and save state it. And then then you can all bite my butt.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, too. We're still in the 1992 to 94. We didn't have any memory cards, so we had password saves, which is kind of cool because that means you can just get magazines were constantly just letting you know. It's like, oh, yeah, well, if you type in this passcode, you get 10 lives. Mm-hmm. And you can start off in or 10. I think they call them attempts. I don't think they call them lives in this, but you get like.
I think it is called attempts. Oh. I think that's right.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, did you get a snapshot of the iconic, basically you failed whenever your helicopter crashed for the third time.
Oh, I freaking love it, dude. It's my favorite, especially in Desert Strike, because it's this cheese ball art of, let's see if I can find it real quick. I forgot to put it. Oh, yeah, here it is. So let me put this out for the chat to see this. This is amazing. And if you're home,
soul crushing.
If you're at home and you don't see this, I'd recommend checking it out. But when you're done, this is what you get. Just a beat the crap helicopter. It's on fire. I think this guy's dead. Fire. I think this dude's dead.
You're both the guys, both you and your co-pilot Nick. I think Nick is the one in with his face in the dirt. Yeah, I think
Nick's in the dirt. And, you're sleeping on a cactus. Like it's the worst. You're sleeping
on a cactus in the. I guess that's something that happens in the desert. Gulf Strike. They have cactuses in that desert. I don't know. It's not good. It's not good. Your blades are all over the place. One of your wings has fallen off. It's quite tragic.
All right. Before I get a bunch of emails about this, I guess Master Chief never did run out of ammo with a pistol. That's not the game I'm thinking of. There's other games where you get a pistol with unlimited ammo. That's what I want.
Well, I there's plenty of games to do it. I took your point. Thank you for taking my point. Yes.
Here's a ground vehicle sequence on Urban, by the way. Look at this chat. Look at this little white little truck thing with the turrets on it. You're not even flying that shit. Look at that.
Yeah. Oh. That's in an Urban Strike, right? Because you get to do, there's like a whole bunch of vehicles you get to ride in on Urban Strike. I think it's on Jungle Strike. I think they introduced the multiple vehicles, but then Urban Strike had a whole butt ton more, including the producers pushing for a on foot mission.
Oh,
thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks for the three pixels.
My vehicle.
Yeah, the three poorly animated pixels of what we think might be a man. Freaking F off. I agree. I hate that. I hate that mission, and I didn't like that they thought that fit. That was a bummer.
Yeah, it was dumb.
It was short, but it was dumb.
Yeah.
So there's that. Now, I'd like to scurry your attention over to this horribleness I'm about to play.
Horrible. I say 32-bit era full motion video. Give me some.
Okay.
Give me some.
Here's some then.
A lot of random events seem to be adding up. The black market's buzzing, and somebody's running the Blue Plate Special on weapons. Troops are on the move everywhere. Our operatives in the region have been methodically compromised. I've got a serious digital vibe that a well-orchestrated conspiracy is being played.
Yeah, he's your computer guy.
There's your Hackman.
That's your... it's kind of Pac-Man.
Hackman.
Oh, Hackman. You say Pac-Man? I was thinking of the Let's Play Pac-Man guy, but...
Let's Play Pac... No. That's our hacker, and you know because he's got three different levels of glasses.
Yeah. Well, and you know, he's a high-tech dude. He needs to see a lot of things. Why wouldn't you? But this is the PlayStation 1 Soviet Strike from 1996. They skipped a year and went to a new platform. 32-bit era business. Less Mike. Gone are the small development team. So Mike Posehn and these other guys, not there anymore.
Yeah.
And originally designed for the 3DO, this thing ended up here. Full motion video, like Brian mentioned, between missions and mission preppers and all that stuff is all FMV.
Cheesy, but
horrible. I love
maybe
it.
Some of the best full motion video stuff from that time, because it looked like found footage.
Yeah.
I mean, they found a way to mix it in good. It didn't feel like they were trying to make a Hollywood production. It felt like you were watching found footage.
But the quick edits and stuff were absolutely like a Bruckheimer ripoff. Like they were trying to, you know, be like that some action movie of the time, which is fine. That's totally all this stuff is anyway. The difference here, though, and you can turn this off at the select button and play like the traditional camera mode. But this game is behind the back. Ooh. It's third person. If you hit select, it will switch over and you're now just like old Strike games. I'm a little torn on this. I think I like being behind the helicopter, but there are times where it benefited me to switch and be kind of floating around the way you're used to in a Strike game.
Yeah. I liked the default. I like fly. I like going behind it. It just fit. I totally kind of forgot about it after a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just works.
My problem is I keep hitting the select button thinking it's the map and it's not. It's start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You use the start this time around. Genesis only had one button and it was more where the select button would be. So, yeah, you just hit the start button. Yeah. The good news is, though, we got heads up stuff on here. We got a you know, we got our information that we need right on the screen.
Yeah, you don't have to pause to see how many bullets you have left, which is so stupid.
No. Thank God.
Yeah.
And you got music all the way through, making it feel really good.
Yeah. It's good. I'm going to just go ahead and say, of all of these that I played, the most fun I had was with Desert Strike. I think the original is a classic.
Yeah.
Second most fun I had, Soviet.
It's almost hard to compare the two.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're really, I mean, yeah, there are things that are similar, but it's, I don't know. I feel like it's a totally different game. There's a momentum to it that, like, there's a story-driven element that pushes you in a way that the first ones didn't. These are all meant to be open world, you know, kind of choose where you want to go. But if you want the best experience, you better follow the directions. Yep. And in this one, it felt like the cutscenes and the alerts and the phone calls that are coming in to let you know what you got to do next, it all just seemed to gel.
Yeah, and it was that stuff ran together real well, I thought. I agree with you.
Yeah.
The production on it is super good. The audio, I think, is a big step up. I'm going to play some of that for you here. Check this out.
Thinking this thing is a big can opening, partner. I'll punch the hole. You scoop the meat.
You punch the hole, I'll scoop the meat.
That's one of my favorite things you do. Like after the, I think it's like that's the first two drops or first two stages you have to complete. You drop a, I think it's either Nick or maybe one of the other guys that you picked up, and he jumps in this bulldozer kind of thing, and he just bulldozes his way through the next area, which is what this game is all about. You're rewarded if you follow the mission objectives as they are given, because when you do, the next piece is weaker. And this is true all the way back to the original Desert Strike. If you do this thing first, then the next place will be easier because you're weakening their defenses as you go along.
Some of that, don't go in guns blazing. Think about it first.
Yeah.
Do the work you got to do, and then you're going to have a better time once you get into the
into
the scrum.
Not that you can't destroy the airport without destroying the power plant, but you're going to be in trouble if you try.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a cool game, and I'm seriously bummed I didn't know about it until we did the research here. And how I didn't know the PlayStation versions were even a thing. I don't know how I did that. Like I
don't think I ever played any of the PlayStation ones until this time around. It looked familiar, but I think I just either played a minute or I saw somebody else play. I knew they existed, but I never really played them. And I got to say, I really dug them. I'm actually not bummed that I didn't play it back in the day, because I probably would never have given it the chance it deserves. And I played a lot of these too, the Soviet and Nuclear. I played a lot of them.
Nuclear.
This week. Nuclear.
Here's
Nuclear.
Another one.
Knuckler.
That's what this is. Again, kind of the same thing, you know. And Soviet and Nuclear are nearly the identical in terms of like look and gameplay.
Very close.
I think the pacing in Soviet's better. Just a better overall game.
I'm with you. So Soviet feels real complete. Nuclear feels you finally do get a radar on screen.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little bit easier, and you also get a directional on your compass, so you can see where you can mark your area. Basically, you can say I want to go on this mission, and it marks it for you, sort of kind of, and then you fly in that direction. But I actually feel like it kind of, even though it was more open worldy, I actually felt like it was a little less. It felt a little more chaotic, and I kind of liked Soviet Strike a little bit better because it did kind of, he didn't really handhold you. You still had the option to, you know, like, I don't want to go there just yet. You could fly around and do some other stuff, but you kind of knew what the next step was without too much trouble.
It's hard to call it. It's not really full open world, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah. It's down by the street of that.
Yeah. They're neighbors basically.
But they had, but Colonel Lemonade in Nuclear Strike was
Colonel Lemonade.
Ex-CIA warlord Colonel Lemonade. Oh, Lemonade, excuse me.
Oh, Lemonade. Oh.
It is Lemonade, but I like calling him Lemonade.
Colonel Lemonade.
but But it was more of a, they definitely took themselves a little more serious during this time. But then also they got kind of goofy with it too, with the full motion video. So I couldn't
I felt like it was a. That's why maybe I didn't like that last one as much, because I feel like they didn't lean hard enough into the goof, or they leaned. Yeah. Maybe they leaned too or not enough into. I don't know. I don't know which it is, but it just to me is not as good a game
as 96, 97, man.
Here's what they need to do. Look, it's a IP they just letting sit there. Make us a new one. And go any direction you want. You go, I'm in the cockpit. It's a huge 3D world. Everything's rendered. Do whatever you got to do. That's fine. Or do me a top camera down looking thing, just like the old school, but make it all pretty. Make this game. Make this series again. I'd play it now. Like tomorrow, I'd play it.
Right.
And get smart about how modern games work with difficulty settings and all the other crap we do. Like, make this game happen again. Yeah. And you know what? I know as I say it, they won't. Because they're EA and they suck and they won't do it. So fine. Right. There's no money in it.
Yeah, there's no money in it. They briefly in 2013 renewed some, you know, copyrights or something, and everybody got excited and lost their crap. It's like, oh yeah, something's coming down the pike, but of course it didn't. So yeah, it's a tough order, because I mean, is there a large enough audience for somebody clamoring for this, you know, new Nuclear Strike? Because if you brought it modern, if you made it modern, you would lose all the charm it had, right? I mean, the charm is in.
I agree. I'd rather see like an indie studio do it. That's what I wish people, big studios, would do more: is take their dead IPs and not just lock them somewhere. Actually, hand it off to license it to a small company that makes rad stuff, and let them make a thing and say, EA presents this production. Boom! There's your game.
You weren't doing anything with it anyway. What's going to cost you?
Exactly. It would only make you money. There's no money to be lost here, dumbasses.
Right.
Here's what never happened, though. Sega CD compilation. I remember this getting announced at the 1995 inaugural. Oh, yeah. That was the original Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3. And it never got released. It was going to have Desert, Jungle, and Urban all on the same disc. And maybe they felt pressure to, like, go nuts with FMV or add some of that multimedia stuff. And maybe they just got too much work and they didn't think they'd get the return because the Sega CD wasn't selling as well as perhaps they had hoped. So, that's a bummer. I wanted
that. That is a bummer. I'm with you. I wanted that to happen. And even more so now because, we got our new Sega Mini 2, which is going to have some Sega CD games on it.
So excited.
Yeah. By the way, I've ordered one off the, I've pre-ordered an Amazon .co.jp. That's right. The Japanese Amazon. I pre-ordered one of the Sega Mini 2s there, which is labeled, I think, as the Mega Drive 2 in that market. Yep. And I also pre-ordered one in America, which is supposed to be the North American release. And so they're both coming, hopefully.
Is that? Do you know when that's happening?
Was it October or November? I'm trying to remember. Do you remember?
Look it up here.
Also, I gotta tell you, they both are going to come the same week, essentially. Let me take a look here. If it'll show me, there it is. Sales. I was wrong. November the 3rd through the 16th is what my North American release is saying. And I think November the 1st to something like that in the Japanese.
Because the release date, the official release date is the 27th, but you'd get it, I guess, in a few days after that. So, yeah. 27th of October.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Release date does say October 27th. You're correct, October 27th. Yes, right.
I think I want this.
Because I think this time around, Japan is handling, they had a really much bigger success in Japan for the Sega Genesis Mini than it did in North America, even though they did well in North America. So they've had the Japanese division are the ones in charge of all of these. So even the North American ones are coming out of Japan. So it's going to take a few minutes.
It'll take a bit. There. Sylphide's on there. Ooh. Big Sega CD.
I think they've only announced like 11 or 12 games so far. It's supposed to be, what, like 30 or something?
30. It's more money than the last one. That's $108.
Yeah. I think after everything, it's like $120 after shipping and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, it ain't going to be cheap. But I've had good success with the previous ones, and I want it. I want it. I got to collect them all.
Yeah, I want this one pretty bad. We'll see. I haven't done the pre-order, so I probably
I would love if they would at least put Future Cop on there. Could you do that at least?
Oh, my gosh. Future Cop is so good. Well, Future Cop's a Xbox game, isn't it? The original Xbox?
No, it's Future Cop. Future Cop was the what was it? That was an Xbox game. It was a was it on the PlayStation as well? I think it was on the PlayStation 1. It was supposed to originally be Future Strike, as was advertised at the end of Nuclear Strike. Yeah. And then it turned into Future Cop.
Oh, it's Future Cop LAPD. That's the game.
LAPD. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That game's awesome. I love that game.
Yeah, and it is a strike game, essentially, but you're in a mech that can turn into a car. Originally, it was going to be a mech that could turn into a helicopter, which I think I would have preferred. But it has a lot of the things that you would have found in the Strike series.
Future Cop is so good, though, dude.
Yeah.
I want to play it right now. I guess I can.
You can play it right now. As a matter
of
fact,
What if I want a remaster? What if I want that? Is anyone going to belly up and give me what I want?
I think you'd have a better chance at getting a new Future Cop than you would in a Strike series. Yeah. I just don't know. I just don't know if that would work with the Strike. I want it. Don't get me wrong. I want it. I want a new Strike game.
Did the GameCube get this?
I just don't know how they would do it.
I don't know if the GameCube got this. Let's see.
Did the GameCube 1998?
Mm-hmm. PlayStation 1 had it.
Yeah, PlayStation 1 definitely had it because that's where I played it.
Could have sworn there was a... I thought there was an original Xbox version of that, but I must be thinking of something else.
Some of these things made it that way. So, I mean, we talked about earlier, like Nuclear Strike made it all the way to PlayStation 3. There's your retro console right there, my friends.
Yeah, that's true.
Windows. We didn't even talk about the Nintendo 64 version of this crap. Did you see the Nintendo 64?
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, something gritty. Something about the way the PlayStation... you know, it's all kind of gritty and pixely that, and I actually think it looks good with Nuclear Strike, whereas the smoothing on the Nintendo 64 kind of not so happy.
I don't like it. Yeah. And I don't think it plays very well either. I remember I remember coming out, and for some reason I just didn't know about the PlayStation version, but I knew about the Desert Strike re-release. And at first you might think, oh yeah, well they get rid of all the crust and the gush and the goosh and whatever, yeah. And it just kind of came off looking a little bit weird. This is the SNES one. I clicked the wrong one.
Yeah, that's the SNES version.
Yeah, but it's weird how it looks. I don't think I... There it is. Found it. Let me see. Yeah, that's just mud.
Yeah, and I was kind of worried because there was the Nuclear Strike also went to the PC, and there was a 3DFX Voodoo version of it. You know, remember those darker cards, the Voodoo graphics and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
They did a lot of smoothing effects like this as well. And back in the day, it looked really sexy. But after seeing the N64 version, I was like, maybe I don't want to see the Voodoo version. I couldn't find any footage of it anywhere, but it apparently exists somewhere.
Yeah, this thing's poopy ugly. I like the HUD elements a little bit, though, in this.
Yeah, they're okay. But something about the dirtiness of the other that kind of works, especially in the jungle scene. Look how blurred and... all the background and stuff looks, it just looks
no muddled. some of that stuff look. N64 had the muddiest, ugliest texturing, and then while they were better at like that wall's not all warpy and changing shape and jittering as I walk past it like the PlayStation was famous for, they traded that off for whatever the mud was they used for textures. It's a depressing part of my life.
I tell you, Soviet Strike, out of everything I played this past week, even though it's not a fair comparison, because I think Desert Strike is really good as well, but Soviet Strike really just, it felt like it cemented everything that they had been working towards, and it just worked.
I agree and with more. You. I agree with you on that. That is my pick of the week as well. A couple of things I want to mention if you're looking for games that are like this today. The one I would get a hold of right away is a game called Renegade Ops. It's made by the team who made the guy that has a parachute and he blows everything up and he's in South America somewhere. What's that called? They're modern games. There's four of them. They're called Once Just Cause. There it is in my head. I had to search for it, and
you
found it.
Describing like 20 different games. Yeah. I was like, he's going to need to narrow it down more than that.
Just Cause is the game. This is using the Just Cause engine. I want to say this is like 2012 or something era.
Right.
And I love that game. Renegade Ops is
so
amazing.
Much
so good. It's all land based, so you don't do a lot of helicopter stuff. But it's that kind of thing, dual stick shooting, which is really what this series needed. We just didn't have the controllers for it yet. And it's great. And it still looks great. Renegade Ops looks badass.
Yeah.
And it has the most cheesy G.I. Joe freaking story I've ever heard. It's so amazing. And they know it, right? They just lean into the bullshit, and it's got weird comic, like comic book cutscenes, and it's just so good. So highly recommend it if you get a second to check that out. I don't know of any others that remind me of this.
There was two that I saw while I was looking. There's something called Desert Law, and I believe both of these were on Steam. Something called Desert Law, and then one called Fair Strike. and they both had similar looks to it, and I want to go back and check them out, but they're not super recent either.
05 for Desert Law. Looks like a more on the ground kind of wastelandy thing. And then what's this other one?
Yeah, it's Fair Strike. Now, if you really want to look for one that really wanted to be the next one, there was something called Alligator Strike that was, it only made it through the demo version, but it was a fan made game called Alligator Strike.
You can download
the exe file, but I don't quite trust it that much.
Fair Strike came out in 04, but that looks like an honest attempt to recreate this. In fact, even the logo looks like the Strike series logos. It's only four bucks on Steam.
Yeah, I mean, that one looks, like I said, it looks more like the PS1 follow behind. So they may have a different mode too, but yeah, it looked pretty good.
Yeah,
and mostly positive.
Yeah, it's got good reviews. It's only 2004.
It's just a few years after nuclear strike. So, I mean, but it looked good. It looks a little better.
Would be looks fun.
Like 2004 graphics.
Why not make that again? Do that again. Who's G5 software? Who is this? Hold on.
I don't know. Come on, get on it, G5.
They made a game called Hard Truck. And a game called Machina Arcade. And Hard Truck Apocalypse. Ooh, that's only 59 cents for Hard Truck. Let's just take a look.
Hey, they did make Nine Monkeys of Shaolin. That was actually a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
So they got some chops.
Let's see. How's this
look? That's Buka Entertainment. That's the publisher. Buka Entertainment.
Buka? I feel like you just swore at me and I didn't know it.
Buka Entertainment.
Well, there you go. That's your Strike series. Do check out the games if you can. They're fantastic. And I'm glad we got a chance to talk about them. But now, we have to do this.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game. It's audio clips of games from olden times that we try to guess each other's picks for the week. And I'm going to start this week with a game, and here's your hints. All right? Your hints you're looking for here are 1992 is the year.
No.
That was in Japan. 93 in the U.S. Super Nintendo only. Never appeared anywhere else.
Exclusive to Super Nintendo.
That's right. See if you can guess. Here we go.
It's a beat 'em up.
It is a beat 'em up. That's a good call on the genre.
The SNES.
Yeah, let's say you
almost got a little bit of a Mario music to it. A
little bit. Let's say you're scrolling left to right. You're scrolling left to right.
Left to right. 1993.
Yep. I'll tell you that it's not anything Capcom made and nothing that Nintendo themselves made. It's a third-party game.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so it still is a third-party game. Okay, so that actually tells me a little bit more about it. Okay, that's interesting.
Yep. Any ideas?
I don't recognize it at all, so anything I would say would just be an absolute guess.
The game is called Brawl Brothers.
I don't recognize that.
I played that game. I thought it was pretty good at the time. I looked at video now.
Is it Brawl Bros or is it Brawl Brothers?
Brawl Brothers.
All right.
And let's see if I can find some footage here.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, it's old. Cool, it's though. It kind of, paint by the numbers brawler. It's not like they did anything super innovative here, but I remember it being really fun. It reviewed good. If anything, it looked like a Genesis game in terms of like frames of animation. Kind of hard to explain, but you were going to get way more mileage out of something like Final Fight, or on the Genesis you would play, I don't know, Streets of Rage 3 or 4, whatever they were.
Yeah, this is giving me a Streets of Rage feeling kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of their answer to that. Yeah. When I say they, I think this was Jalico? Whoever.
Jalico?
Remember them? Made a bunch of arcade shit back in the day.
Yeah, I actually do remember Jalico. Is it Jalico? Jalico.
J-Loco. J-Lo Company and Friends.
Jericho. All right.
Well, you failed. Let's see if I fail.
And I never played that one before, so that was a really good one. But man, boy, shoot.
I know.
Don't you steal some other people's ideas there, brawl bros.
No kidding. All right, I'm going to hit play on yours, but before that, to give me a hint, what are we doing here?
The year is 1989, and you need more?
Or you think the clip will be enough? Water.
No, I think it released in North America, just like very beginning of 1990. So okay. that may tell you a little something.
Probably NES is my guess, so I'm going to play it here.
The guess is correct. It would be an NES game. Right, it also came to the Game Boy.
Oh, all right. Well, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, this music's awesome.
Yeah. Music kicks ass. Developed and published by Sunsoft.
Sunsoft. Oh, man. Is it run and gun kind of thing?
How about a side-scrolling platformer?
Are you shooting stuff or no?
No, you don't really carry a gun. That's not really what you do.
All right, so it's melee-ish.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was all melee.
These are really helpful hints that you got coming out. What? Give me another one. What's another hint here?
Let's see. Let me see. Oh, so almost any hint I give you is going to be like, duh, it's going to be like easy.
Yeah.
This is a huge IP at the time, and it's not Nintendo's. How about that?
But it was a big IP.
Yeah.
Oh, is this one of the Ghosts and Goblins? Ghosts and Goblins.
No.
No.
Sunsoft, yeah. Oh
my gosh.
I can give you one more, but if I do, it's gonna pretty much just seal the deal.
Alright, I'll say I don't get a point for it, but give me what hint you're gonna give me.
It's based on a hot movie property.
Oh.
And this music that's playing is not his theme song.
Okay. Is that the James Bond thing?
Nope.
I give up. I have no idea what this is.
The film came out in 1989.
Oh.
It had a guy with a chin.
Was this Rambo?
Not a bad guess in the chat room, though. I did say chin, didn't I?
RoboCop?
What if I said
RoboCop is 87.
What if I said Tim Burton?
Oh, with a chin? That frick has a chin. A Beetlejuice?
Batman.
Batman. This music's nothing like Batman. I don't get it. I don't get the Batman part.
Batman has a super chin. He's the whole thing. That's the whole thing he's got.
Yeah,
the only part you see is a stupid chin.
Yeah, but that's why I thought Stallone. He's got a big old chin. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Michael Keaton, apparently.
So, all right. I feel like an ex-chicken.
Ex-chicken.
Here's the thing. I don't know what. I didn't know they made the Batman game without the Batman theme. Why would they even do that? They should have had
I thought too. I was like.
Whatever the
when I went to capture the audio, I was like, oh, we gotta do Batman. I was like, I wonder if they got like a you know, this is NES. I thought, let's surely have like a variation on the Batman theme.
Nope.
Yeah, so I gotta be careful.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
They didn't have none of that.
None of that. That's weird. Danny Elfman super tight about getting to use his shit on other variations? I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah. It was heralded as one of the best superhero games for the NES.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there were plenty of them, right? Well, we got some.
I mean, I'll agree, I guess. Spider-Man. I have no idea. I never played that, I guess. I never played that version of the game. Was it fun?
I've played it before. Okay. Yeah, I played it before.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
It's okay. But I could have sworn there was Batman music in it, though. Or at least some Prince. I at least thought there was some Prince in it.
Yeah, give me some Prince. Then I know. Then I know right where I'm at. All right, well done. Now this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
A That's right. We're going to do emails. These come to us at playretroshow@gmail.com. I got one from Tyler who says, Scoot and Brian, been a big fan of Frog Pants for years. I love Film Sack and going all the way back to the current Geek Weekly episodes about Saturday morning cartoons and the like. I'm really enjoying the podcast about retro games as the games you are talking about make up my childhood. I just listened to the Mega Man episode and was a little surprised. You lamented that they haven't made a Mega Man title recently because there are three excellent entries in the franchise on the Xbox that were made in 2008. Mega Man 9 in 08 and 10 in 2010 and 11 in 2018. All three are 100% in the mold of the classic Mega Man games are challenging and have a great amount of replayability. If you haven't tried them, I highly recommend you do. I didn't know there was something made in 2018. That's insane.
I didn't know that. I can't remember if I knew the 2018. I definitely knew about 9 and 10 because I've played both of those. But did I ever play 11? It seems like I remember seeing it going, I got to play that, and then never coming back to it.
Well, I would love to play that. He also goes on and says, I'd like to suggest games and series and genres for future episodes. Earthbound, known as Mother 2 in Japan, was a fantastic on the NES game that was retro in style when it came out. It could make an entire episode of its own, including the other two installments that never saw a release outside of Japan. Ooh. Such a weird, funky game that really stands out as a unique piece of video game history that everyone, as a fan of RPGs or surrealism, would thoroughly enjoy. But if not an episode of its own, it could be part of an episode with the late SNES RPGs like Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy 3 through 6, etc. is the word I'm trying to say. Anyway, love the show. Excited to hear what you guys think. Tyler, where'd you go?
That was awesome.
You disappeared. I thought you were grabbing. What were you doing there?
I was grabbing a video game.
Oh, let's see. What do you got? Show it.
Oh, I don't want to give a show just yet because I was waiting for the next segment.
Oh, all right. Well, then, don't worry about it then. I like all these ideas. Email,
Tyler, I'm looking forward. I've been wanting to get an Earthbound in there, and I was a little concerned because it's only one game, but God, you can dig so deep into Earthbound Mother 2 in Japan.
Yeah, on the NES the Switch online service now, so you can play it there.
It is.
For the longest time, you couldn't get it anywhere, but it's playable now. So
there's a lot of story about Earthbound. I think it could have its own episode. I really do. We haven't done a single game episode in a while. That might be one of the ones.
Yeah, that might be one we do. Well, thank you, Tyler, for your ideas. Guess what we're doing next week, everybody. Stand back and get ready for the craziest idea we've ever had. Not really. To coincide with the brand new Beavis and Butthead series starting on Paramount Plus, we're not getting paid to say this, on August 4th, we are going to do those Beavis and Butthead's Do the 90s video games. They had the original game, which was just self-titled. They had Bunghole in One. They had Do You. And they had Beavis and Butthead in Virtual Stupidity. We're just going to look at those, and there'll be a lot of side conversations about other 90s era animation, cartoons, adult stuff that made its way to your consoles. Probably not too much on The Simpsons because they are going to get kind of their own treatment one day. They're too big. But we're going to talk all about everyone's favorite dumb idiots and the games they made in the 90s. Beavis and Butthead Do the 90s.
I'm looking forward to it. I've already got my MA-13 Sega Genesis Beavis and Butthead, and this writes a Viacom jam, and guess what? I'm looking for my GWAR tickets.
Yeah.
GWAR!
Yeah.
Two-player. One to two-player. I'm going to try this, by the way, this week, and maybe if I can make this work, I wouldn't mind playing a little net play two-player with you if we get a chance, because what? Is there any better game for two idiots to play together than Beavis and Butthead?
I mean, you got to wonder, right? Any of you live in Florida, you live with your own version of Butthead. If you look really close, Florida representative Matt Gaetz looks like Butthead. Just like him. Just like him.
I do like that. I like the memes. The memes make me laugh.
He's like a rendered, like a 3D rendered Butthead. That's what you got there.
I don't know. Like the memes always make me laugh.
The memes are funny. Anyway, so there's that. And for those who think that's somehow me being one-sided, AOC as Daria. That's fine. Whatever you want to do.
That's a pretty good meme, too.
Yeah, go do that. all right, so there you go. That's next week. We're doing Beavis and Butthead. Check it out. It'll be great. I'm excited about it. In the meantime, join us on our Patreon. We just got a brand new patron named Justine McDonald. Oh. No relation to either Burgers
or
McDonald's Norm.
Or
Or Old or any of those. Yeah, as far as I know, she is her own MacDonald. And we're glad to have her here. I assume it's a her with the Justine, but it could be anybody. I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, Justine, whoever you are, we love that you're here. And if you want to be like Justine, you can do it. No commercials ever, pre-show content every week, monthly benefits, the whole package available for you for a couple of bucks over at Play Retro on Patreon. Patreon.com/PlayRetro. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com or for our emails, PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And our website is frogpants.com/PlayRetro. That is going to do it, Brian. Is there anything you'd like to add to this discussion before we go?
Yeah, I'd like to say, I want to play some Renegade Ops now.
I'm going to.
Isn't that a four-player game, too?
I think it is co-op. I'm not sure. I think it is.
I downloaded that
on my deck today because this game got me thinking of it, and I'm going to be definitely playing that. So, watch out,
Nick!
America. Oh yeah, I don't think there's a version of Nick in that game, but there may as well
be. Dang it.
You will die.
Yeah, I went to go rescue Nick. I think it was in Soviet, and or was it nuclear? I can't remember. Yeah, anyway, I remember. I went to rescue him, and he was in a crate, and apparently there's some kind of story about him getting eaten by a tiger. Spoiler. Yeah, so sorry about that, Nick. I'm going to need you, co-pilot. Sucks.
Nick, co-pilot Nick blows. He's the worst.
He's dead now.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro. We'll see you next time. Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.